side of the pond. He is DJ Schweitzer. I am Jeremy Lance. Hey, what's up?
It's a late start.
Oops.
That's what happens.
We got Gavin.
We did get to Gavin. There was sports on. Watch a little LA Galaxy action.
Yeah. They didn't win.
LA was Latin FC. Lost 2-0 to Sporting Kansas City.
Yep.
Entertaining, though.
Guy that was, like, most recently for, like, playing for, like, Norwich. Scored a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Zlatan did not.
No.
Of course, he only played, like, what, 15 minutes, 20 minutes?
That's all it took last time.
That's true. That's a fair point. Fair point.
Good weekend for you?
Yeah, I got to use my birthday gift, finally. My season tickets to Cincinnati. Got to go to a match.
Yeah.
Home opener.
How'd you enjoy it?
Immensely. Minus the weather.
I was going to say, are you yet unfrozen?
Not till I crawled into bed last night did I finally warm up.
Yeah, it takes a little bit of time. A down comforter is definitely something you would need
to recover from last night. Yeah, I definitely had to bundle up in some blankets last night.
I normally
warm my core.
You've seen my normal match day attire.
Right.
I usually wear just some khakis or, you know, some slacks and a polo. It's usually about the extent of what I like to wear. I had to forego my typical team polo for actual long sleeve apparel because it was just too damn cold.
You had to get a sport coat.
I went sport coat. I was mainly looking for layers. It wasn't about formality. It was just layers.
Yeah, I want pretty good layers. I want like... See, I always whiff on the layers. I always go like, oh, I think so much about like, oh, I'm going to wear my like one of those like Under Armour like base layers, which I did. And then I'll have like a shirt under that. And then like I had like my big FC Cincinnati like quarter zip sweater.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, I'm good there. Could have gone for some long time. My legs were ice.
Everyone,
by the time we left.
I'll tell you, I'm a big advocate for always keeping the legs as warm as possible because it is literally where you lose most of your heat. I feel like because pants tend to be tighter and closer to the skin.
Sure.
If you put on a base layer on your pants, it's going to do you a world of good.
Yeah. No, my coworker who I went to match with and sitting with me, he was wearing his like soccer tights under, and he was fine.
Yeah.
And there I was just. Rubbing my legs
rubbing
the whole
legs
time.
Whole time.
Like, get warm.
I will tell you, the compression pants, they're fantastic.
Yeah.
Literally, I sometimes think about wearing them when I go to work just because I like the way the sport feels.
Hey, no one's going to know.
It's like a bra for your legs.
Yeah.
Mm.
Leg bra.
The bro. If you're a Sandhill fan. We're not here to talk about the man's ear or the bro. We are here to talk about the weekend and week's soccer action since we last talked to you. Of course, that includes things like fantasy and
not being good at fantasy.
Well, that's, I mean, we're pretty much professionals at not being good at fantasy. And that was the case this week again. Let's start in the
still
Premier
terrible.
League. Yeah, we're still and forever
Yay.
Always terrible. In the Premier League side of things, I stayed in the exact same spot. I'm still in 75th position. You fell two places.
Mm.
130th.
Mm. Weekend ruined.
You're still 13 off the bottom. So,
okay.
Lucky 13.
How many more weeks we got? Like six or seven?
Just six more weeks of punishment in that league for us.
Well, I mean, that's 6 weeks that I just have to survive not falling all the way down to the bottom.
All right.
Which we'll find out.
Soon enough. Over in the MLS, wait, before we do that, we should announce who is sitting at the top. Jay Slack, Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
Heard of him.
Five shows in a row. I think if he wins it this year, this will be his third.
Dynasty.
Third time winning in what, year five we've been doing this now. So,
yeah.
Dynasty indeed. Over to the MLS League, we just have 21 entrants there. You and I are still predictably crap. I improved one place to 16th, moving on up.
There you go.
You stayed level, 11th. So
it's my spot.
It's better than negativity.
It's my spot.
And Sarkar's GSFC, again, that's now five shows in a row for him. So streaky leaders that we have at the top of our fantasy leagues.
Awesome.
Cool.
Manchester Derby.
That's such the forced portion of this entire show. Manchester
Let's
Derby.
Shoehorn in or whatever. Actual soccer.
Yeah.
All
right. Manchester Derby. I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
One, let's just say this. You say pretty good. Manchester Derbies have a habit of being crap.
Oh, yeah.
This was not crap. this was actually an incredible game.
Because it's either like nothing happens or it's a blowout.
Yeah. This was neither a blowout.
No. We thought it was.
And
we thought we were heading that way.
Plenty happened. So let's start with the first half because this was totally a match of two halves. Manchester City were the
This is the textbook definition of match of two halves.
Yeah, yeah. They were the side that we have seen for a majority of the Premier League season right. out of them. And much needed, too, after the loss to Liverpool. We'll get to this a little bit later, right. but an embarrassing loss for Liverpool to Liverpool in the midweek for Manchester City in the Champions League. And so they kind of needed a rebound game against their biggest, in-city rival.
Mm-hmm.
And they come out and they just look like the team that we thought was going to show up in the midweek in the Champions League. Completely dominant.
Mm-hmm.
The crazy part is the two people who scored were people who have like played bit part roles for them over the course of the season.
Right.
Vincent Kompany.
Right.
And
who's supposed to be like, on his swan song here.
Yeah.
Right?
He's pretty much playing on a walker. And then it was Gundogan who had the other one. And it's 2-0 within 35 minutes. And we're all kind of going, well, this thing is dusted.
I was texting with one of my buddies, Gunnar Dave, and he was literally like, this is a schooling.
Mm-hmm.
And it was. I mean, they were running riot on United. Obviously, the fans behind them there at the Etihad. Sterling. Raheem Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
Had himself some chances.
I mean, it could have been five-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably could have been five.
So he is credited with 4 total shots in the match.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go and watch said shots, they were all, not sitters, but like, hey, £50 million guy, like this should be no problem for you.
Mm-hmm. There were.
Benteke could score these.
Well, I don't know. Benteke has an ability to miss much of anything, but
I think Benteke possessed Sterling in this match because they were Benteke-like finishes to his efforts.
I'm going to go with Voodoo Doll.
It could be. Could be.
I would love to think that Benteke has Voodoo Dolls for all the other strikers in the league. It would just be fun. There were actually a couple high-profile misses over the course of the weekend just from no range at all. But that said, you kind of thought like, well, given that City missed a few of these things, look, they'll convert a few more in the second half and this thing will be
they'll have more chances because look at how many chances mm-hmm. they had in the first half. Why would that change? Why would it just so crazily, dramatically change mm-hmm. from one half to another? That wouldn't make sense.
Those things don't really happen that way, especially Jose Mourinho's. A manager is not really known for, like, tactical shifts. Right. He's kind of like a one-mindset type of guy. So, yeah, it was just – I think everyone in the world literally thought to themselves, this thing's over with.
I mean, Jose Mourinho is kind of the – he's the high school coach that runs the triple option. He's got one plan.
Mm-hmm.
And if that don't work, well, we're screwed.
Yeah. Well, he definitely went into the locker room an enraged guy and came out of it. A guy who seemed like he knew what the hell he was doing because it was an immediate effect. It wasn't like something that like, oh, it took a little while for United to get into the second half.
The switch was flipped.
You don't ever hear about like the Mourinho hairdryer in the way that you used to hear about the Sir Alex one at United. Maybe Sir Alex came down. Hey, like you need this.
I mean, they showed him in the first half with his sourpuss face there going like, well, this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I here for this?
Look, he's already on compromised morals and hiring Jose to begin with. So I think he has that face kind of permanently. But whenever they're getting schooled, it's doubly so.
That was the I sold my soul for this?
Yeah.
That was that face.
But what I really found interesting about all this is the person who flipped it around in the second half for United – and I agree to a certain extent that he didn't have a bad first half, but Paul Pogba showed up in a way that we've not really seen Paul Pogba show up at Manchester United so far.
But this makes sense. He loves his manager, and there's a great relationship there, and he just wanted to ball out for him and help his manager out, right?
No ulterior motives in any capacity at all, except for the fact that literally Pep Guardiola in the lead-up to this match came out and said – to me, this is like We don't get
this. Was this a mind game backfired?
I don't know.
By Pep?
I don't know.
Was this Pep trying to do, trying to jazzy the situation?
I do think
this play mind games?
I do think this was a mind game play. But also, it didn't work. I don't think this is a made up mind game, which I think a lot of these things are. So Guardiola comes out and says prior to the game that like 2 weeks ago, he received a call from the agent, Mino Raiola, of both Pogba and Mkhitaryan, saying that both players were being offered up to him. Like, mm-hmm. Do you want them for next season? I bet that happened. In fact, I have almost zero doubt it didn't happen. But I agree with you in the fact that this was totally Guardiola being like, I'm going to use this as a mind game thing. The only problem is that like guys like Mino Raiola and then Pogba in particular, who I think is very easily like the textbook definition of what you would call a mercenary player.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're a mercenary, they're always looking for those sure. moves.
But when you're a mercenary, you're playing for you. Mm-hmm. So that's why this mind game backfired.
Yeah.
Because ultimately what it said was Pep going, Pogba,
would you like to come to me?
Is, yeah. And no, I don't need Pogba.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he was saying. So Pogba's going, oh, you don't need me, eh?
Well, today I'm going to show up and I'm going to do my thing. That's exactly what happened. Uh-huh. So I do think I agree with you. Like what you're suggesting is that this was a play that backfired. Yeah, it definitely backfired. There's no doubt in my mind that it backfired. And Pogba showed up in the most extraordinary of ways with what you would say is 2 goals in 2 minutes.
Yeah. And you would say that because that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's just absurd the way he turned the game on its head, and it literally turned the game on its head. From that point on, it was chaos football.
Right.
Like, anything could happen. I was expecting Mourinho to run over and poke Guardiola in the eye. Like, literally anything could have gone down there.
I was waiting for him to go on a pitch and try to trip somebody like that time he tripped Ollie Mers in a charity match.
Ah, that was the best, by the way. Literally highlight. I can't wait until he does it in a real game.
It's one of the, I would say, top 5 reasons why I love Mourinho. Because he took out Ollie Mers in a match. And I've only heard the one song from Ollie Mers that actually, like, charted mm-hmm. on this side of the pond. It was terrible. So I've...
He deserved it.
Really, deserved that.
But this is the thing about a Mourinho, though. Seriously, I know this is sidebarring it a little bit, but I don't get how people don't like him. Like, I get that he's manipulative and he's a jerk to your team, to my team, to all sure. teams. Look, he managed your team. He's a god at Chelsea to a certain extent.
I still have my cartoon Jose Mourinho air freshener hanging from my car, rearview mirror. Right now.
I'm glad for you. He had a puppet show, for Christ's sake. Like, Mourinho is everything that you would want as someone who, like, loves the game. He is nothing but storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, he is glorious.
Yes, he's captain of the drama.
Glorious in this match. We talked about Pogba, obviously, and all the rumors of him potentially being offered up to other clubs. I don't doubt for a second, again, that that's actually happening. That said, it was Chris Smalling who ended up getting the winner.
I think his name is Mike, actually. That's what LVG called him, right?
Smalling?
You remember when LVG would call him Mike Smalling?
That's awesome. I forgot all about that.
That just goes back to LVG's just firm grasp of the English language.
They've had a cavalcade of like great manager storylines at Manchester United over the last couple of years. Sir Alex, probably greatest manager ever.
Yep.
Arguably. Followed up by...
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're a United historian, there's actually probably still a battle between 1 and 2 because there's so much lore, though, around, like...
Yeah, Bubsy. Yeah. And
there's so much more lore around that.
But the point I'm making here is that they went from potential greatest manager ever to then handpicked successor who fails like, you know, a house of cards collapsing, right. Essentially.
He had to run off to Real Sociedad and pretend to know Spanish after that.
Always bad. And then you followed up with a character like LVG, and then you get Mourinho afterward. Like, who do you bring in next if you're trying to keep up, like, the cavalcade of ridiculous managers?
Is De Canio still managing?
Bring him out. Why not?
I feel like he's kind of...
I'd be for that. Rafa Benitez. I think that's a good one.
Yeah?
I'd take it.
Wafa. Bring in old Wafa.
Fat Spanish waiter. United get the very large victory. And one of the things that I think is most interesting about this win is that we talked a lot about Mourinho. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a whole lot to hang his hat on this year, right? Like, they're still in the FA Cup. They're out of the Champions League, obviously.
I mean, FA Cup's all he's got.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like last year where he was able to salvage the season by winning Europa.
Mm-mm. That's not on the table for him this year. But that said, this is something he can hang his hat on. It's a narrative point for him to be able to say, like, hey, you know, we went from 2-0 down to Manchester City, came back and won it.
Yeah, we didn't let our arch rivals clinch it against us. We held them at bay.
For now.
Let's go to for now for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Because we head into this upcoming weekend, a hungry and pissed off City
mm-hmm.
heading to Wembley, take on the Spurs.
You know, I was really, really wanting City to win the Manchester Derby because that meant by the time they got to us, they'd gone through a Champions League match and they were on Premier League championship hangover, right? We don't need to win a game for the rest of the year and we're still champions. Doesn't matter. Which means they would be less focused and more focused on the Premier or on the Champions League than on us. Oh, crap.
Uh-oh.
Now they still have a Premier League title to win. And look, regardless of what happens at Spurs, City are still going to win the league.
Right.
Like, that's a certainty. But now they want to get it done because they just got embarrassed
mm-hmm.
twice in a week. And they're going to be looking for blood. The only thing that I have kind of going for me at all is that they have the Champions League to hopefully tire them down a little bit.
Hopefully.
That's not how things go. That said, Spurs had an okay weekend.
Yeah, you guys played Stoke.
Mm-hmm. Not sexy.
No.
Nothing sexy about Stoke. In fact, they were actually pretty stubborn, fighting for their lives at the moment, and really made Spurs work for ultimately what turned into a 2-1 victory. All the scoring in this match happened in 11 minutes. 2-1, final score line. Eriksen opens the score line in the 52nd minute. Diouf levels back for Stoke, 57th minute. And then the 63rd, Eriksen again, although Harry Kane might contend with that and still continues to do so. But a double for Eriksen is enough to lift Spurs to the victory. That lifts them 10 points clear. We'll come back to that in a moment. Just a minute for your sake. But
there's 11 points clear at that point.
Yeah. Pegged it back a little bit. I had to. But Stoke stuck in 19th place, 4 points off the drop zone, or at least the top of it. Not looking good for these guys at this point.
Other matches, it was not just the Manchester Derby, it was also the Merseyside Derby.
Man, forgettable.
Everton 0. Liverpool 0. Liverpool kind of throwing out a bit of a B-side as they were obviously shot their wad in a way in the midweek.
That's exactly what happened there.
Hey, it worked.
Yeah.
I would say if they were looking to get a win out of one of those two matches, they got the one they wanted.
They picked the right one. The most memorable moment of this match, hands down, has to be Wayne Rooney shouting fucking bullshit at Big Sam from the bench.
That's Everton's season in one moment right there.
Absolutely.
A old haggard Wayne Rooney
mm-hmm.
shouting swear words at a much maligned manager in Big Sam.
But, you know, Rooney's going to get a raw deal with this, I think. It's going to be like, oh, he's past it, and, you know, he shouldn't be shouting that kind of stuff. The manager gets to make these decisions.
I mean, at least he didn't do it straight to a camera like he did that one time.
Not straight to the camera, but very clearly caught on camera.
Right.
In this case. But what I find most funny about this is Wayne Rooney's totally right. It's 0-0 in a derby match, and he gets pulled off for a defensive midfielder, Idriss Agoye, in the 57th minute. 57th!
That's Big Sam ball. That's how we play Big Sam ball.
Striker for holding defensive midfielder.
Big Sam's playing the long game over here.
What is the long game? Not losing?
Getting paid your entire contract? I don't know.
Not getting fired too early?
Getting your full buyout? I don't...
Who knows what that is? Yeah. No way Big Sam makes it through the summer there, right? He'll be gone from Goodison.
No, he'll be gone instantly.
Okay.
They might let him go at halftime of the final match of the season.
Oh, God, I hope that happens. It's been a while since we've
like,
had that.
Like, they'll come
one.
On the PA
mm-hmm.
and be like, attention, there is, you know, there's a lost child at, you know, Concourse B. Oh, and by the way,
also,
Sam Allardyce, you have been relieved of your duties.
One would hope.
Security will meet you to escort you off the property.
One would hope.
Bournemouth 2, Crystal Palace 2. These are two teams that basically are just, they're safe.
Probably had a handshake agreement beforehand. Let's entertain both sets of fans.
Yeah.
Keep it level.
Let's not do anything crazy here.
Mm-hmm.
Brighton Hove Albion 1, Huddersfield 1, and the battle of the new guys
mm-hmm.
that are still hanging around. And guess what? They're both still hanging around.
And based on this result, they'll continue to hang around.
Keep on hanging.
Yeah.
Watford 1, Burnley 2. Burnley continuing to have their good season.
Just a little
see
moment
how
of
high
sun.
They can get. How high can they get?
I hope. I would love European places.
I mean,
for
judging
Burnley
by the way Chelsea played, I would say fifth place is definitely still in play.
It is not out of the question. Speaking of Chelsea, would you like to hit on those guys for just a moment?
Chelsea 1, Chicharito 1. That's the final score.
One of those death sighs that we just got there a moment.
Yeah.
You know, the noise you
it's
make
death
right
rattle.
Before you die. Azpilicueta getting one just after the half-hour mark. For Chelsea, good old Dave. Gotta like him. I want to know how much it stung you that one of your favorite players was the one that undid 3 points for you today.
Dude, he always scores against Chelsea.
He really...
Always scores against Chelsea.
Not only does he always score against Chelsea.
I think he scored like in his like last all in like in his last four appearances at the Bridge.
It's actually the last four times he came on as a sub at the Bridge.
Yeah,
he scored,
which is the only way he shows up at the Bridge.
Incredible. He was on the field for 3 minutes.
Yep.
3 minutes after his introduction.
That's what he does.
It then was followed by what was an absolutely bonkers finish. Loved it. It was back and forth.
Yeah.
Neither team could connect passes.
West Ham might have had a penalty that they got unjustly not called.
Yeah. Totally. 100% they should have had a penalty at the end of that thing.
Bummer, dude.
Yeah, I'm sure you're really upset about that for them. But
ruined my day.
Important point for West Ham and their pursuit of not getting relegated.
Yeah.
Chelsea, though.
Right. Great effort. The whole goal today was to win one for Ray Wilkins.
Mm-hmm.
And look at that effort.
Really
didn't do it.
Shine through there.
Way to honor a Chelsea great who passed over the week by just kind of giving away a match in the last 20.
Nothing like doing that to a side that's actually facing relegation struggles.
Yeah. A David Moyes side. The guy who was speaking Spanglish a couple years ago in mm-hmm. Real Sociedad.
Oh, man. I'd love to hear some David Moyes Spanglish. Chelsea, of course, now slipped to 10 points behind Spurs in the table, chasing that Champions League place. I'm still not comfortable enough to say that that's ours, but we're damn close to getting it.
I feel like we're closer to snatching Liverpool's chain than you guys' chain on this one.
I'm fine with either case.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool beans.
Cool. Other matches. West Brom, still at the bottom. Mm-hmm. They draw with Swans, 1-1.
Gave away a lead in that one as well.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Newcastle getting a needed victory as they continue to kind of right the ship here at the end of the season and look all awesome and not terrible.
Yeah.
As they win 2-1 over Leicester City. Jamie Vardy breaking the clean sheet there in the 83rd minute to give Newcastle supporters a bit of a scare. But they hang on for the win there. And then, hey, Arsenal, you won a match.
And not only that, but barely surviving, most likely relegated Southampton 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
The most interesting aspect of this entire match, it got really interesting in like the final 10-ish minutes of it. But it was actually Jack Wilshere being a total cock and getting three people cards and including two red cards in the final 3 minutes of the game in extra time. He gets tangled up with Jack Stevens of Southampton, literally tangled, like had two handfuls of jersey, wrapped him up. Stevens took offense to that, shoved him to the ground. He got sent off for it. Wilshere saw yellow. And then his own teammate in the fracas that followed, Elneny, was sent off. I think all three of those cards you should basically just attribute to Mr. Wilshere.
Way to go, Jack.
Way to go, indeed.
Good job, bud. That's Premier League. Let's talk Champions League. Where do you want to start? So that we had two good matches, mm-hmm. and then we had two matches that were not close.
Let's start with the tastiest of the affairs.
Okay.
And I think we unequivocally have to go to the Real Madrid match. And Cristiano's redonkulous bicycle kick.
Which to the point where I forget who that Juve defender it was. Like, if you look at the replay, he kind of just gives this shrug like, yeah, okay, what are you going to do about that?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing you can
like,
do
about that. What do you expect us to do?
What's most absurd about this is we're reaching a point where people are starting to question Ronaldo. Like, is he on a down swing? Is he starting to lose his powers? Neither of those things are probably wrong.
No.
But he's still going to punish you.
Right.
And
he's not getting younger, but
that he did with an absolutely magnificently taken.
I mean, the bike was so amazing that even the Juve fans were cheering it. Like, they were applauding it, going like, yeah, that was actually pretty spectacular.
He even got really choked up about that fact. He said it's the first time in his career that an opposing side's fan base actually applauded him. He was absolutely clinical throughout the match. As Real Madrid saw off Juventus, really, really big result, 3-0 for them. Also, seeing a red card in that match, being given up to Bala, which means he'll be out of the following fixture. Pretty much guarantees that we're going to see Real Madrid onto the semifinals.
Right, because if you have Dybala, that's one of your main attacking threats, unless Higuain's going to go off.
Happens.
Doubt it, though.
Not likely to happen at this point.
Let's move over to my possibly the least tantalizing of all these matchups. Barcelona 4, Roma 1.
Yeah, way more skewed in one direction than I thought it was going to be. Roma are a decent side, yeah. So it was a little surprising to see
them get up. They kept it respectable from a good chunk of the match.
Mm-hmm.
And then it definitely got sideways on them. Sevilla 1, Bayern Munich 2. Mm-hmm. So Sevilla definitely very much alive in this one, but they will be heading to the Allianz for the second leg.
Two away goals for Bayern.
Yeah.
Not too likely they're going to drop that one at this point, but still big for them nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. And then the coup de grace of this round. Liverpool 3, City 0. And once again, and I have to ask this question, Liverpool have once again found a way to completely undo City.
Mm-hmm.
This is not their first time doing this.
Yeah.
What are they seeing? What are they doing that they're able to just completely run roughshod on these guys?
I think it's all about the way that Liverpool press. And it's we saw Spurs almost do it against City earlier on this year. But ultimately, what it boils down to is City are at their best when they press you. They get you to cough it up in the offensive third, their offensive third, and then they're able to parlay that into opportunity and chances with the creative attacking talents that they have at their disposal. The problem is if you flip it on them and you're able to pressure them in the back, that's where things fall apart for City. Because those guys, while decent enough, Kyle Walker is not a guy that you're going to trust when he's under pressure. He's going to try to get it out. He's going to try to get rid of it. But he's not going to be a guy who's going to maintain your possession if he's facing extremely high pressure. So I think that's exactly what we're seeing here, is that this is a side that just isn't trained and ready to or at least have the depth available to them to be able to attack like that and leave themselves so exposed in the back. And when they get pressured in a way that they're not used to, that's where the cards fall apart for them.
So 3-0 for Liverpool. They go to City for the second leg of this quarterfinal match. If they just try to score one goal in the first half, and then now City has to score five.
Yeah.
So looking good for them. Let's just go ahead and fast forward and say Liverpool do the job here. A semifinal berth in the Champions League for Liverpool. What does that do for Klopp's stature?
I don't know from a stature standpoint. I think it legitimizes him a little bit. You do that type of achievement with two clubs, it draws you into a different arena. People will kind of forgive you a couple of your other shortcomings because you've risen to that stage with two different teams. From Liverpool's standpoint, I think it's massive. I think it allows them a recruitment base to be able to go to opposing teams and go, look, like, we developed this team. You come here, we could do that for you as well. So Klopp continues his dominance against Guardiola. This is something that he's had a long history of getting the upper hand there. So on the whole, enjoyable. I mean, it's fun, if nothing else.
I'm reading the book Bring the Noise about Klopp right now. Super interesting to, like, you think of Klopp as this just managerial genius, but if you read like kind of the genesis of his managerial career, he was kind of just elected to be a player manager was it Mainz?
Yeah.
They were pretty much just like, they got rid of their manager like midway through the season, and the guy running the club was just like, you know what? Well, the players are good enough and mature enough, they'll just run. They'll run themselves.
Interesting. Like,
you know, we'll have to put someone in charge. Why don't we just put this fullback here in charge? Hey, Klopp, you're going to be in charge of the team.
It's like a Gary Monk that worked out,
right? Yeah. And so, like, that was the origin of Klopp as a manager, and now you see him for the second time this season punking Pep Guardiola.
I'm all for this.
Good times.
Make it happen.
Let's go stateside, domestic stuff. We'll start in MLS. We talked about it at the top of the show. We were watching Zlatan not win a match in MLS. So.
Ah, damn.
There goes that perfect record.
Hype's over.
Show's over, folks.
Yep.
We do possibly, though, have to give him credit for something that happened this weekend. He may or may not have broken LAFC because they went from bossing the match last week to Zlatan coming in and stealing that match.
Right.
And then this week, LAFC, in a pretty tasty matchup, go out to Atlanta and get pummeled 5-0.
Yeah. Do you think this is a little bit like them coming back to earth after the incredible hot start? Or is this more of like, man, they're now broken?
B-O-F, both.
Yeah, all right, that works. That Atlanta United 5-0 win for them, kind of an incredible result. Atlanta United are like the textbook example of what you want to do as an MLS expansion franchise. Like, they came out, made the playoffs their first year, killed it from a marketing and soccer standpoint, and now they're back at it again this year. But big win for them as they continue to try to find a way to make all these big-name players they brought in tick and work together.
Yeah, and you, their big signing of the summer has actually yet to play still. So keep keep that in mind when you think about what Atlanta's doing.
Yeah.
And I believe actually they just made like a signing this week, didn't they?
Yeah, I think so.
They went and found like, because the one big knock on them is like, hey, you don't really have like a number six.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what they went out and did.
Well, must be nice to have all that money.
Must be. Orlando City come back today and win on ESPN against Portland. A pretty crazy match. If you watched it, Portland scoring like all three of their goals in like a span of like 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah. It was a really entertaining match as well, especially that 10-minute stretch. But this is one of those years where we might see a bit out of Portland. Maybe they make a run at it, or is this
going to be another false dawn? This is a new era for Portland.
Mm-hmm.
with their new manager. And yeah, so far not so good for them.
Chicago Fire getting a 1-0 win over their closest geographic rivals in Columbus Crew. Bastian Schweinsteiger having a hell of a match in this one, but it was Nemanja Nikolic that actually led the way for them, getting the goal in the 27th minute.
Chicago's first win of the season.
Needed it.
Nikolic finally showing up for the season. Mm-hmm. On the score sheet. So we'll see if this is what sparks Chicago coming back to life. Meanwhile, the Crew, you know, hot first couple weeks there of the season, sort of petering out right now. You know, you wonder if that was just the initial hype. Mm-hmm. Of us against the world and that mentality possibly already running out of gas.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility.
Hope not, though.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Before we go to USL, mm-hmm. CONCACAF Champions League, first leg semifinals, a lot of talking points here.
Can you stop real quick? I need to choke you.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Now, the underwear I'm wearing,
mm-hmm.
is that okay, or do I need to change that?
I didn't check it beforehand.
Okay, well, you know, these are things we got to do. Toronto 3, Club America 1, insanity abounds.
Mm-hmm.
This match had it all. It had goals. It had controversial penalties. It had some of the most bizarre allegations a manager has thrown around, but it's the manager you would suspect would
do that type of thing. Yeah.
Miguel Herrera. So basically at halftime,
mm-hmm.
the two teams go into the tunnel. And I was reading something about how like the Toronto's tunnel situation is kind of weird and it lends itself to skirmishes, to infractions, to run-ins, because the away team has to kind of like cut across to go their way.
Didn't this happen and recently there?
It
too?
Happened in the playoffs last year against New York.
It's just absurd that it's still happening.
So you have these two teams having to closely kind of move their own direction once they get into the tunnel, and so it does cause some kind of some mingling that has not voted well in the past. And if you listen to Toronto, they will tell you that a Club America player tried to go after Giovinco, and then Osorio stepped in.
Mm-hmm.
And Osorio was elbowed in the face, and then that started a whole thing where Club America will say, no, our guys didn't go after anybody. It was actually the Toronto police on hand that got super handsy and started roughing up players.
Yeah.
So that was one. That was Miguel Herrera's accusations in his post-match talk.
Mm.
He also then went on to say that the referees in this match made the Club America players change their underwear.
Ridiculous.
This is what he's accusing the match officials of, basically saying, hey, you guys, that underwear is no bueno. You need to do something about it.
That is spectacular.
Like, I don't even know what that means. Like, what would not be good about it?
Sometimes there's rules that you have to wear. Like, if you think of slider kind of brief underwear that you would maybe see a player wear during a game. There are rules that say they have to match your shorts. So maybe everyone didn't have matching ones. Seems odd to me that everyone wouldn't have them.
Right. Interesting.
Interesting for sure.
But for Toronto, they take a 2-goal advantage to the Azteca.
Big.
We'll see if it holds. Mm-hmm. I feel like no lead is safe when you have to head to the Azteca.
You're probably right.
This late in Champions League. On the other side of things, it was New York Red Bulls falling down in Mexico to Chivas 1-0. But if you think about it, that's really not that bad.
No.
They get that second leg in New York,
mm-hmm.
only down a goal. They're very much alive in that one.
Oh, definitely.
The chance of having an all MLS final is still alive, of course, at the same token, having an all Liga MX mm-hmm. Final. Still super alive.
Yeah.
So a lot still we play for there. Exciting to see it. Would love to have an all MLS final because that would mean that one MLS team.
I was just going to say bad way. That would mean one of them would have to win it unless for some reason they found a way to ban both of us or both of our teams.
Depending on their underwear.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Let's go USL, whipping around the league, and we got to start with FC Cincinnati home mm-hmm. opener.
Yeah,
I was there. You were there.
It was cold. We talked about that earlier.
Super cold. Mm-hmm. Home attendance record for home opener?
Yes. Largest home opener in USL history with a attendance of 25,667. So great showing. We appreciate everyone who made it out. It was awfully cold out there. So I'm going to credit you personally for the success.
Like, just thinking about it, my legs are freezing now.
Unfortunately, FC Cincinnati came up 1-0 losers to Louisville City. Thanks to an early Lancaster goal. Never able to really give
back. Is he the Spurs Academy guy?
Yeah, I believe he was.
Yeah, okay.
Already hate him, huh?
Well.
But Louisville tactically were masterful in the way that they approached the match. Not a whole lot of complaints there outside of the fact that there's little things you can make tweaks about. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I got to... I joined the march.
Mm-hmm.
Like I marched in with the supporters.
Had some beers beforehand.
Loved it.
Not very often you get such to have beers experience. Before a sporting event. I feel like
you're loved it.
Always working. So
yeah, I normally am. I normally don't like to pay to go to sporting events. I'd like to be paid to be there.
Yeah, fair enough.
Instead, I just went full fan,
mm-hmm.
and super enjoyable.
It sounds like fun.
It was great.
Someday.
Had a half liter of beer there at Mecklenburg Gardens and then marched over. And
all this sounds so great.
So good.
Oh, well, I was working a 15-hour day. Great.
Yes.
Grand.
Sounds cool, too.
It is the coolest.
Other things about USL, Tampa still right there with Louisville as far mm-hmm. as best teams in the East. Indy 11 still playing pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of you can tell like some really exciting, well-run organizations. They all seem to be kind of out to a pretty good start this season.
Yeah,
and just showing just the growth and the strength that USL has as far as their organizations go.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, I think across the board, the league's improved this year, and I think you're going to see a lot of teams that may have even struggled in years past that will be pretty damn competitive. So, watch out this year. It's gonna be a fun one for sure.
Winners and wankers.
Winners and wankers, indeed. It's in time for us to go through our weekly ritual where we name the people that we should score the most and praise the most.
Yep.
This week, I'm going to go ahead and praise Justin Meram.
Okay, okay. I think I know where you're going.
Going with this. He provided a tweet to provide some clarification as to what he had tweeted out prior to all this point. But basically, he said the comment that was taken out of context was basically my thank God comment was about sarcastic joke about being a Michigan fan in Ohio, and I'll always love Columbus and always will. Never spoke bad about the club, especially the fans, coaches, and my brothers I played with. I just could never support an owner moving the team. One love, Seabus. Hashtag save the crew. We've not, in my opinion, if we're going to, if the skill, the scales are going to get tilted to save that team, you need player support, not just players that play for you, but players that used to play for you.
Right.
Players from around the league that have nothing to do with you.
Or players that felt that they needed to wash their hands of you.
Yeah.
Or at least your owner.
Yeah. So congrats to Mr. Miram for speaking his mind and saying things that a lot of players probably wouldn't feel free to do.
My winner, the road to wherever it is that the Women's World Cup is taking place.
Mm.
Like, I almost said France. That's not it. Is it France?
Yeah, it's France. It is France. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The road to France has started for the U.S. Women's National Team. They took off Mexico twice this week.
Weird.
And won by a combined score of 10-3 in those two matches.
The women's national team even trailed for a little bit in this match.
Yeah. Briefly.
What the hell is going on?
But yeah, went 10-3 combined win over those two matches.
No bueno.
So yeah, I believe that's what they're saying down in Mexico.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're
saying. It did not go well for them. But they are, obviously this is kind of a, this is going to be that next group up. This is their World Cup.
Yeah, it's true.
And so their first couple matches here of qualification so far, pretty good.
Pretty good. Do you have a wanker for this week?
I do have a wanker. I did go to my first FC Cincinnati game, sat in the crowd, and love sitting in the crowd. Love people. Hey, if you're at a soccer match and you're not and you don't want to watch soccer, just don't be at that soccer match. Like, yeah. There's no gun to your head.
No.
No one is making you be there.
No.
So to the group of teenage girls that sat behind me.
Ooh, joyous.
You made it very clear to everybody in our section that you really didn't care what was happening. Didn't really want to be there. Felt sorry for the one dad that was chaperoning you to what apparently was just torture for you to be at that sporting event that I'm sure he probably was footing the bill for.
Mm-hmm.
Almost by at one point turned over and said, "Hey, Dad, where are you guys sitting next time? Because I don't want to be anywhere near
you." Yeah, I'm going to pick a different location.
Oh, because different section. it was rough. But, I mean, that's what you get. You get the good with the bad. Yeah, I had them just popping off about just how just egregious it was that they were having to be somewhere. And then, I had, the guy, our friends from Jenga sitting right over by me that were loving things and enjoying the match as one would hope you would.
Yeah.
As I attempted to do as well.
Sure.
You get the good with the bad.
That's not wrong.
But the bad sometimes is talking at a higher octave, so it's harder to tune out.
Stinky.
Yeah.
Yeah. My wanker this week, I'm going to give it to not FIFA, but a FIFA official along with a Asian Confederation official who, okay. Yeah, this is obscure here, who made a suggestion to India that their leagues should merge into one and utilize promotion and relegation.
So we have the India
Super League, which is like a kind of a fake league.
Right.
Bunch of former European greats.
I wouldn't even go as far as saying great.
Look, Dimitar Berbatov was out there last time.
Okay, sure.
Really hated playing under manager David James, by the way. Yeah, keep following that storyline.
I remember that Instagram.
But they have this Indian Super League, and then they actually have an Indian Premier League or Indian Super League-ish or something like that.
What are the Kerala Blasters in?
That's the Blasters are in
Blasting it up.
They are in
That was Berbatov's team, right?
Yes, it was.
So that was the Super League?
Yes. So that was the Super League, and then they have a traditional like league system, and they're trying to get them married together.
Right.
This was
now. This is all contingent though on Josu coming back, right?
Entirely. And if Josu does not come back, then none of this
the whole structure of Indian soccer will just implode on itself.
That said, the problem with this entire situation is that. One, it was a suggestion. Okay. Two, it was not a mandate. And three, God damn it, you guys, by putting this information out, it's going to be the most quoted thing by all the pro,
right.
Excuse me, bro-rel bros out there.
Yeah, it's catnip for these idiots.
Literally, this will be catnip. They're making India do it. No, they're not making India do anything. In fact, the governing body has done nothing to make this happen. So that said, there's my wanker. And that therefore brings us to the end of this week's show. As always, if you want to get a hold of us, contact at wrongsideofthepond.com for email. You can get Jeremy at Jeremy Lance. He wants your tweets. Give them to him.
Yeah.
And you can find me at Wrong Side of Pond. But hey, we're at the end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to get involved at this point, that's fine.
No, just time to walk on. Enjoy. Out to the sunset, like Patrick Reed winning that Masters with that. Boy, that's a, you know, pink on a big guy. Maybe not the best choice of shirt selections.
It's a very
large. So, hey, Nike, you know, you map this stuff out. This is part of your whole branding plan.
Uh-huh.
Maybe not have one of the biggest guys that plays golf for you wear a giant pink shirt. He might just win the Masters wearing a giant pink shirt.
Nah, whatever. Just stick with it.
All right, do your thing.
Thanks for listening, folks. We'll talk to you soon.
Later.